Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. This week's films: First Reformed, Solar's Point, and Revenge. It's a sentence right there. Hi, David. How are you?
Okay, Joel. I'm doing all right. How about you?
Cannot complain. Will not complain.
Good, good, good. Good, good, good. Well, yeah, last
I'm
week
reformed.
You're reformed. Well, I am getting there. Always working on that. Last week I talked a bit about the Maryland Film Festival, which took place in Baltimore, and I thought this week I'd just like to return and talk a bit more about two of the films we touched on last week, because they're interesting movies and because they're both starting to play, are out and around in theaters around the country, and I just think that they're worth spending a little time on because they're examples of the kind of interesting independent film that isn't always great, but really needs to be encouraged, especially when it's by filmmakers who have a kind of a unique take on what films can do and on what films can say. So, first of all, I just want to say a bit more about First Reform. This is a movie written and directed by Paul Schrader, and he is best known as he's directed quite a number of films himself, including some really, really good films. Light Sleeper is an example, starring Willem Dafoe. His very first movie called Blue Collar is interesting, a film called Hardcore, which, believe it or not, with that title also deals with religion. And Paul is best known, though, probably as the writer of some of Martin Scorsese's most interesting movies, including the amazing Taxi Driver and Raging Bull and The Last Temptation of Christ, which is, of course, another film which deals very much with religion. And as the title of First Reform suggests, it deals very much with religion, and it stars Ethan Hawke as a guy who becomes he is a minister, and he becomes acquainted with a couple of young environmental activists, and something very tragic happens to the man of that couple, who is the most diehard believer in the idea that environmental catastrophe is about to overcome our planet. Something pretty drastic happens to him, and the minister then keeps up his relationship with the wife of that couple, who is a lot less obsessive environmentalist, played by Amanda Seyfried, and various things transpire out of that relationship. It just turned into the kind of sexual relationship that we might expect in a more ordinary movie. And something about Paul Schrader is that he has been kind of interested in and perhaps haunted by certain subjects having to do with religion over the course of his whole career. And this goes way, way, way back. And believe it or not, it's even in a movie like Taxi Driver, people who know that movie well. And it's quite a great film. It's one of the great American films of its time. It came out in the 70s, and it still remains, I think. I've always called it a nasty masterpiece because it's incredibly violent and ugly in parts, and yet it is just really quite stunningly made, and it has very, very interesting things to say about American society and the American way of violence and so forth. And what a lot of people don't realize is that Taxi Driver, one of its inspirations, was a very deeply religious film from the French filmmaker Robert Bresson, who made a film decades ago called Diary of a Country Priest. And certain elements of Taxi and other movies by Scorsese and by Schrader come right out of Diary of a Country Priest, such as, for example, of the main character keeping a diary, which then becomes part of the movie. The protagonist of Taxi Driver keeps a diary. The protagonist of this brand new movie, First Reformed, keeps a diary. I'm going to talk about Solar's Point in a moment. And it's also a movie, though, that deals very much with questions of faith, problems of faith. What do you believe in? This minister who has had tragedy in his life, the main character of First Reformed, he is undergoing kind of an ongoing crisis of faith The environmentalists have their own faith, divism. So it's very much about faith and crises of faith. And it's also very much about how this interplays with human relationships. Interestingly, First Reformed is a very austerely made movie. And Robert Bresson, the French filmmaker, such an influence on Schrader and Scorsese. His movies were very austere, never anything excess, never anything that didn't absolutely have to be there. And First Reformed is probably the most stripped down, bare bones movie that Schrader has ever made, and not just for budget reasons, for aesthetic reasons, and for kind of philosophical reasons, because it's very much about trying to burrow down into this person and perhaps even into this person's soul. And that sounds very ambitious, and it is very ambitious. And so the movie is on one side, it's very, very bare bones. Very, very plain, very simple. But on the other hand, its agenda is enormously ambitious. And I think that it is just a fascinating movie to see. It has a couple of times when Schrader takes real cinematic risks. Including one that is not austere at all, where the camera sort of floats off almost into the heavens, which are absolutely fascinating, very, very audacious, and they show Schrader at the top of his game. I want to mention one more thing about Paul Schrader. He wrote a book many, many years ago, a very, very interesting book and a worthwhile book called Transcendental Style in Film, in which he wrote at length about the French filmmaker Robert Bresson, also about the Japanese filmmaker Yasujiro Ozu, and the Danish director Carl Theodor Dreyer, and talked about how they express spiritual values in ordinary movies. And a new edition of that book by Paul Schrader is coming out just this month. So again, religion and the idea of the interplay of cinema and religion has been something with him his whole life, and it's still very much with him. And I really hope people will take a chance on First Reformed. It's a fascinating movie, and it really deserves to be seen. And I'm so glad that the Maryland Film Festival gave it one of its early showings, and it helped it get started on its journey. Also, they helped to get Sellers Point started on its journey. And as I said last week, this is a movie by Matthew Porterfield, who is one of the major Baltimore filmmakers. There are others. There is, of course, John Waters. There is Barry Levinson. Matthew Porterfield is the young sort of up-and-comer. Sollers Point is his fourth feature film. And in the past, he worked largely with people who are not trained actors, and he often sort of used a lot of sort of improvisation and stuff in the development of the stories and dialogue of his movies and whatnot. Sollers Point, I think, is made a bit more conventionally, but it's very conventional in a lot of ways, too. It's about a young guy named Keith who has just gotten out of prison recently. He was in prison for a while, and then he was under house arrest for a while, and now he is trying to get back into the community. And I got to review my fellow reviewers here a little bit. Something that does not seem to be mentioned in reviews of this movie is this very unconventional structure. It's a very elliptical film. We get episodes, we get scenes, we get sequences, but we also get big gaps of time that are not explicitly shown in the movie, where we have to sort of intuit what might have happened between that last scene and the one that we're seeing right now. The movie has a linear structure, and you can follow it and all that, but it does not have the kind of consistent and continual continuity that ordinary movies have. It allows us to fill in, or actually asks us to fill in, a whole lot of gaps in what's going on with its young protagonist. We often say, wait a minute, why is he doing this now? He wasn't doing that before. Well, it's because some time has passed, and we haven't seen that time, because this is a movie that, you know, wants to cover certain high points. And you sort of have to kind of fill in those blanks yourself. This is a technique that is used by some pretty audacious filmmakers. I'm going to make a really off-the-wall reference here, but the greatest of all Iranian filmmakers, Abbas Kiarostami, who died just a few years ago, once told me in an interview that he doesn't like his movies to be so that everything is up there on the screen, so that everybody comes out of the movie with exactly the same thing in their heads. He liked the idea of having a whole lot of things in a movie that are not explicitly seen or heard, so that everybody who comes out of the movie, in a way, has made their own movie out of the material on the screen. Yes, it's a story, and it is characters, and we can get involved with these things as we we do with the usual movies, but we also get to fill in the blanks in our own way. We come out with our own individual picture of the movie, and if we see a movie more than once, maybe we have different ways of thinking about it each time. And that's, in a way, a less ambitious way, but an interesting way, what Soller's point does. So it's a very well-acted movie. It's a good story movie, but it's an unconventional movie in a lot of ways, and I wish critics were taking more note of this. Matthew Porterfield, I think, is becoming a better filmmaker as he goes along, and I think Soller's point is an interesting step in his evolution, and I really hope that a lot of people see it. It's a worthwhile movie, and it's trying to do what he doesn't usually quite come up to doing. It's an adventurous movie in its own quiet way. You know, very ordinary kind of story. Guy got out of jail trying to get back in the community. We've seen that a lot of times before. But in this case, it's done in really a unique way, and I found it far and away the most interesting Porterfield movie that I've seen so far. And finally, I want to talk about a movie that did not premiere at the Maryland Film Festival, I am glad to say, a movie called Revenge, and it's coming out now, and it has gotten such rave reviews from such a lot of critics, and I want to criticize those critics at the same time that I talk about the movie, because it's an interesting movie, but I think that a lot of the reviews have been really off the beat for a particular reason. So, this is a movie which, exactly like the previous two films I've talked about, like First Reformed and Soller's Point, Revenge is written and directed by an auteur. Same person wrote the screenplay and directed the movie. In this case, it is a French director and writer named Coralie Forgiat. And she has made this movie called Revenge, and the title kind of tells the tale. We are in somewhere way out in the middle of nowhere where this very wealthy guy has gone to be on a hunting trip. And with a couple of his buddies, and he's wealthy. This is a fabulous home that he has out in the middle of nowhere. It appears to be, you know, a vacation place or his country home or something. It is fabulous. It is surrounded by nothing but wilderness in all directions, sort of desert wilderness, and it has a spectacular swimming pool and magnificent windows, and everything about it is really superb. And he is there with his girlfriend. He is a married guy, but he is there with his girlfriend for what they call in England a dirty weekend. Except it's more than a weekend. And there they are, and there's a whole lot of sex in the beginning of the movie. Not all that explicit, but, you know, there's a whole lot of sex in the beginning. And then the two buddies show up. And then near the beginning of the movie, the woman gets raped. That's not really a spoiler, because it's near the beginning of the movie. But while the boyfriend is away, one of those buddies who has shown up for the hunting trip rapes the host's girlfriend. It's not on screen, but you know exactly what's happening, and it's pretty harrowing, and it's pretty awful, and it's pretty unpleasant. And then, just a little while later, we're still in the beginning of the movie, the woman is apparently murdered. So she's raped, and then to keep her quiet, she's murdered. And now all three of the guys, the boyfriend and the two other guys, are in on this. But the woman turns out not to be dead. And the whole rest of the movie is the woman getting revenge on these three guys who did her wrong. They are tracking her down. When they realize she's not dead, they gotta kill her, because otherwise she's gonna turn them into the cops and they're all gonna go to jail for the rest of their lives. So they're tracking her down, but she's also tracking them down because she wants to get her revenge. Now, this movie is full of all kinds of bloody, violent, horrible, nasty stuff. I don't mind that. I like horror films. I can take a whole lot of on-screen violence as long as I know it's not real. I have more trouble looking at some of the actual photographs from Abu Ghraib than I have looking at a whole lot of very, very awful, ugly, violent sequences in movies, because the movies, we're not talking about documentaries, obviously, the movies are make-believe. It is special effects. Some of the special effects in Revenge are very effective. They're pretty awful. Even I want to sort of turn my head away for a moment. I don't necessarily do it, but I'm tempted to, because, yeah, there's some very ugly stuff in this. But it's all make-believe, and I can handle that. The thing that bothers me about the movie Revenge is, first of all, that this stuff is really gratuitous. It's just pouring it on, and it's not very clever. And in fact, one or two things, such as the way the woman is killed and then turns out not to be dead, I find so insanely implausible that even by movie make-believe, it just doesn't cut it. It's way, way beyond what could ever conceivably happen in real life. It's like ugly cartoon stuff. But the thing is that this movie was written and directed by Coralie Forgiat, a woman. And this movie seems to me to be getting so much special pleading because it's a violent movie directed and written by a woman. And for some reason, that makes it all, according to a lot of critics, very feminist. I don't find this movie feminist at all. I find this movie well done on a technical stand, but it is nasty and ugly and feminist only in that it's a woman who gets to do what guys usually do in movies, which is like kill and torture people. So I don't find this a feminist movie. I find this a nasty movie, and not in the good sense of nasty. Oh, interesting. That movie really, you know, really says it. It doesn't pull any punches, but in the bad sense of nasty. It is gratuitous. It is pointless. And I find very, very little in it to admire. And I am not going to give it extra points because it was written by and directed by a woman. When a woman simply shows she can do what the guys do in all of the nasty movies, that does not impress me, and that does not strike me as a feminist statement. I am not interested in this movie except beyond what I've just said, and I will probably never speak about it again. And that is my auteurist story this week, Jill.
And your revenge. Thank you very much, David Steris. Films in Focus, the films First Reformed, Soller's Point, and Revenge.